Departure of Mr. Bingley and his party from Netherfield to London was a continued source of wonder and distress to Mrs. Bennet, a situation not made any more acceptable by the fact of Charlotte Lucas's unexpected engagement to Mr. Collins. Her best comfort lay in the hope that Mr. Bingley might come again in the summer, a prospect she frequently put before her husband, whose attitude in the matter, as usual, did not exactly coincide with her own.
Well, Lizzie, your sister Jane is crossed in love, your mother tells me. Is that right?
If Mama has said so, then it must be, Papa.
Oh, of course. Oh, well, I congratulate her. Next to being married, a girl likes to be crossed in love a little now and then. It's something to think about and gives her a kind of standing among her companions. And when is your turn to come, my dear?
Mine, Papa?
You will hardly bear to be long outdone by Jane, surely. Now is your time. There are officers enough in Meryton to disappoint all the young ladies in the country.
An excellent suggestion. I will do my best, Papa.
Oh, of course. You will wish to make your own choice, I'm sure. But why not make Wickham your man? He's an amiable fellow and would fit you most creditably.
Thank you, sir. But really, a less agreeable man would suit me quite well. We cannot all expect Jane's good fortune.
True, my love, true. How wise you are.
But all these speculations were set aside, at least for the time, by the arrival of Mrs. Bennet's brother and his wife, Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner, for Christmas. Mrs. Gardiner, who was somewhat younger than her husband, was a favorite with all the family, and soon found herself the recipient of Mrs. Bennet's confidences.
Oh, no, I do not blame Jane one little bit, for she would have got Mr. Bingley if she could, I'm quite sure. But Lizzie... Oh, sister, it's dreadfully hard to think. She might have been Mr. Collins's wife by this time if it had not been for her foolishness.
But perhaps she doesn't care for him.
Made her an offer he did in this very room, and she refused him. Oh, well, so Lady Lucas will have a daughter married while I have not. And the estate is just as entailed as ever.
I'm sure it must be most galling for you, sister.
No, the Lucases are very artful people, I'm afraid. Very artful. I'm sorry to say it, but they are all for what they can get. It makes me nervous and unwell to have such people about me all the time. Oh, but your coming like this is the greatest comfort in the world. And I am very interested in what you tell me about the return of long sleeves.
Between Elizabeth and her aunt, there was a particularly warm regard. And never had the wise counsel and sympathetic understanding of the older woman been more welcome to her niece.
I am sorry for poor Jane, but these things happen so often. A young man, such as you describe this Mr. Bingley, falls in love with a pretty girl for a few weeks, but I'm afraid when circumstances part them, he soon forgets her. Poor Jane. With her gentle nature, she may not easily get over it. Mm. I'd sooner it had happened to you, Lizzie.
Oh, thank you, Aunt. You are all kindness.
I mean, my dear, that you would have quickly laughed yourself out of it.
I wonder...
Do you think your mother might be prevailed upon to let her come back to London with us?
Oh, Aunt, how very generous. I'm sure Jane would be delighted if she would.
There would be no question of her meeting with Mr. Bingley, I'm afraid. Gracechurch Street is certainly not fashionable, and our circumstances are so different it would be extremely unlikely, unless he comes specially to see her.
Well, that will not happen while Mr. Darcy is with him, I'm sure.
Mr. Darcy? Mr. Darcy of Pemberley?
Do you know him, then?
Well, you forget that before I was married, I lived in Derbyshire.
Oh, of course, yes.
I don't know him personally, of course, but I know the gentleman by reputation, certainly.
Ah, then you must be fully aware of the fact that Mr. Darcy may perhaps have heard of Gracechurch Street, but he would hardly think a month's absolution enough to cleanse anyone who'd actually lived there.
So much the better. But doesn't Jane correspond with a sister? She will surely feel herself obliged to call if Jane tells her she's coming.
Don't worry, Miss Bingley will quietly drop the acquaintance. You can depend on that.
Mrs. Bennet needed no persuading to allow the visit, and the rest of Mrs. Gardiner's time at Longbourn was largely occupied in satisfying her niece's curiosity about Mr. Darcy's family and their circle, especially when she discovered that the story of Wickham, and even the young man himself, was already known to her. The eagerness with which she pressed her aunt for information soon aroused that lady's suspicions of a particular interest.
Lizzie, my dear, you are too sensible a girl to fall in love merely because you're warned against it. But seriously, I would be on your guard in that direction.
Aunt, this is indeed being serious.
Mr. Wickham is a most charming and agreeable young man, I know. And were he free to marry without considerations of fortune, I would say you couldn't want a better. But as this is not so, I do beg you not to let your fancy run away with you.
Oh, very well, Aunt. In that case, I shall not fall in love with him. And if I'm at all able to prevent it, he shall not fall in love with me.
Elizabeth, you are still not serious. I mean what I say.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I will try again. At present, I can safely say I am not in love with Mr. Wickham. But I must admit I find him by far the most agreeable man of my acquaintance.
I'm sure he is, but Elizabeth...
Forgive me, Aunt, but I was about to say that I now see the imprudence of it. Though where the affections are concerned, few young people are guided by matters of fortune, so how can I promise to be any wiser than my fellow creatures if I am tempted?
Oh, Elizabeth, please forgive what must seem to you like interference. I only speak, my dear, because of my special regard for you.
I know you do. Very well. What can I say? Simply that I will not be in such a hurry in future to consider myself his first object. And when I am in his company, I will not always be wishing it so. There. I cannot promise more.
The end of their visit and the departure of Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner with Jane for London left Elizabeth very much alone. Even Charlotte, with her impending marriage to Mr. Collins rapidly approaching, was an infrequent visitor, and one scarcely welcomed by Mrs. Bennet when she did come. But on the day before the wedding, she came to say goodbye, and Mrs. Bennet being from home, the two friends were able to talk undisturbed.
Oh, Lizzie, it seems so strange to me that I should be the one to leave while I remain behind.
Oh, there's no great strangeness about it, is there?
I had almost hoped when Mr. Wickham first came. Well, he seemed to show you such a marked preference, Lizzie. But then, of course, you always set such high standards in these matters.
Oh, Mr. Wickham is a charming man, Charlotte, by anyone's standards. Certainly by the eldest Miss King, so I hear.
Oh, dear. Then you have heard it too.
Mm-hmm. And her circumstances, as we all know, are far superior to mine. Oh, I say this without malice, I assure you. She is a sweet girl with a handsome fortune, and he is a most agreeable young man. It would be a most excellent thing, in my opinion.
Oh, Lizzie, how unfair it is.
On the contrary, I see no unfairness in it at all.
But I must go. I still have a thousand things to do.
Very well, I shall not keep you.
Since we shall not have a chance to speak tomorrow, remember, Lizzie, I shall depend on hearing from you. Often mind.
That you certainly shall.
Oh, and I have another favour to ask. Will you come and stay with me?
Oh, Charlotte, you cannot want a third.
Oh, yes. Please.
And if you do, your husband-to-be will not.
You must come soon, Lizzie. Please, promise me you will. Promise.
Oh, very well. Thank you, Charlotte, my dear.
Good. I shall write as soon as we're properly settled and arrange a time.
Oh, well, it is to be hoped she may be happy, that's all. But I'm sure I never saw anything like that headdress in my life, did you, Mr. Bennet? Poor thing. With her want of natural colour and animation, I thought it almost a shame to dress her up so. I say I felt almost sorry for poor Charlotte as she stood there, did not you, Mr. Bennet? Oh, well, he never hears me now when I speak to him. I say your father never hears me now when it's I who speak.
The days following Charlotte's wedding were dull indeed for Elizabeth, enlivened only by a letter from Jane.
Forgive me for not writing sooner, dearest Lizzie, but I had hoped to be able to give you some news of an answer to my note to Caroline Bingley. But I begin to fear that by some accident it must have been mislaid, because it is now a fortnight since I wrote, and I have heard nothing. However, Aunt Gardner is going tomorrow to that part of town, and I shall take the opportunity of calling in at Grosvenor Street. Dear Lizzie, I rejoiced greatly in your account of Charlotte's wedding.
This letter did nothing to allay Elizabeth's fears on her sister's behalf. So it was with a feeling of unhappy anticipation that she opened the next, some days later.
My dearest Lizzie, well, I am sure you will not feel like triumphing at my expense when I confess myself to have been completely deceived by Miss Bingley's regard for me.
Oh, poor, poor Jane.
When eventually I did see her, it was quite evident that she had no pleasure in the visit. She made a slight formal apology for not having answered my note, but said not a word about our meeting again, and was in every respect so altered a creature that I was perfectly resolved to continue the acquaintance no longer. I pity her because she must know she is acting wrongly, but I am sure that anxiety for her brother is the cause. I need not explain myself further. I cannot but wonder at her still having such fears, though, because if he had at all cared about me, we must have met long, long ago. He must know of my being in town, I am certain, because his sister must have told him.
This letter gave Elizabeth much pain. But with no greater events than these occasional reports from London, did January and February pass away. March was to take Elizabeth herself on her visit to Charlotte and Mr. Collins at Hunsford, while the journey would permit her a brief visit on the way to her Aunt Gardner in Gracechurch Street, and thus a sight of Jane.
Oh, Lizzie, what joy it is to see you. but first, I must make sure that your luggage goes up to your room.
Oh, Jane, dear, you need not do that now.
Yes, I won't be a moment.
It will never stop her.
But don't tell all the news till I come down again, mind.
Dearest Jane. She makes herself so useful. I cannot think how I shall do without her. But how is she, Aunt? How has she taken it, do you think? She seems well enough. Oh, she's too good and well-mannered a girl to display her feelings openly. But sometimes I catch her looking rather sad. But what about you, my dear?
Me, Aunt?
Well, this talk of George Wickham and Miss King.
Oh.
He paid her not the smallest attention till her grandfather left her £10,000, so I'm told. I should be sorry to think our friend mercenary.
But what is the difference between the mercenary and the prudent? Last Christmas you were afraid of his marrying me because it would have been imprudent. Now, because he is trying to get a girl with £10,000, you call him mercenary. Poor man, he is to blame either way.
But there seems a want of delicacy in turning to her the moment she inherits money, surely.
Aren't a man in his circumstances hasn't time for such niceties. And if she doesn't object, why should we?
Her not objecting doesn't justify him. It only shows her want of good sense or feeling.
Very well, have it as you choose. He shall be mercenary and she foolish.
No, Lizzie, that is exactly what I do not choose. I should be sorry to think ill of any young man who's lived so long in Derbyshire.
Oh, if that's all, I have a very poor opinion of young men who live in Derbyshire, and their intimate friends who live in Hertfordshire are not much better. I'm sick of them all. Thank heaven I am going tomorrow to a man who has not one single agreeable quality. Stupid men, I find, are the only ones worth knowing after all.
And the view from this window is considered particularly fine. This window here, cousin.
Yes, it's certainly quite extensive.
Mr. Collins, please do allow poor Lizzie at least time to remove her hat.
That meadow you see there has 15 trees in it. 15.
Has it indeed?
7 elms, 6 oaks, and 2 beeches. I counted them myself. And there beyond the trees, you may see the roof of Rosings, where my patroness lives. There, do you see it?
Yes, I see it.
That is the home of Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
Is that truly so?
My dear, poor Lizzie must be longing for her tea.
And now, Miss Elizabeth, I have to break the news to you that Lady Catherine has actually sent down word by one of her servants that we are to take you up and present you to her after dinner tonight. There. What do you say to that?
Tonight? Oh, very well, cousin, if you wish.
I'm sure you must be as surprised at the honor as I was myself. I confess I expected nothing more than a few words of recognition after the service next Sunday, or at the most a cup of coffee later in the week.
It is kind of her, certainly.
But do not make yourself uneasy about what you shall wear, cousin.
I was not.
Lady Catherine is far from expecting the same elegance in others as she maintains in herself. I would merely advise you to put on whichever of your garments you think superior to the rest. Lady Catherine will not think the worse of you for being simply dressed. She likes to have the distinction of rank preserved.
Heedful of his obvious concern, Elizabeth spent not less than her usual care on her toilette that evening, but was surprised to receive an interruption before she had finished.
Oh, Charlotte, is that you? Oh, just one moment, if you don't mind.
I don't know if you're aware of the time, cousin.
Oh, Mr. Collins, no, you may not come in, sir, please.
I must ask you to be as quick as you can. Oh. Lady Catherine's extremely punctilious about time. She doesn't care for being kept waiting.
Oh, no, very well. Thank you, Mr. Collins.
The carriage should be at the door in exactly 7 minutes. I hope you're aware of that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Collins. Thank you. I will be ready.
So that is Miss Bennet, is it?
Yes, Lady Catherine.
She seems quite a genteel, pretty sort of girl, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, my lady. You're most kind.
Yes, you may bring her over to speak to me.
You're very gracious, your ladyship. She'll be most honored.
And does your father keep a carriage, Miss Bennet?
He does, ma'am.
Oh, yes. And what was your mother's maiden name?
She was a Miss Gardiner.
Gardiner. Oh. Your father's estate is entailed on Mr. Collins, I'm told.
Yes, ma'am.
I see no reason for entailing estates from the female line. It was not done in Sir Lewis de Bourgh's family. Do you play and sing, Miss Bennet?
A little.
And sometime, perhaps, we shall be happy to hear you. Our instrument is considered one of the finest in the country. Do you draw?
No, not at all.
Really? And your sisters?
Not one of them, ma'am.
Indeed. And are neither of your younger sisters out yet, Miss Bennet?
Yes, ma'am, both.
Both? Before their elder sister is even married? That is hardly the usual practice, I think.
Possibly not, but really it is a little hard that younger sisters should be kept back merely because the eldest may not have the means or the inclination to marry. I hardly think it would be likely to promote sisterly affection, ma'am, or even delicacy of mind.
Upon my word, Miss Bennet, you give your opinions very freely for so young a person. What is your age, pray?
Having just admitted to 2 younger sisters already out, your ladyship can hardly expect me to give a direct answer.
So, you are very cool in your manner, I must say, Miss Bennet. Mr. Collins? Mr. Collins!
I beg your pardon, Lady Catherine. So sorry, your ladyship.
I do not wish to monopolize Miss Bennet's company all the evening. Please find a chair for her in your circle.
Certainly, Lady Catherine, of course.
You may bring her here again sometime while she is with you.
Thank you, my lady. You are most gracious,
but not next week. I have my nephews, Darcy and Fitzwilliam, coming.
My lady, I'm delighted to have this opportunity of informing you that I recently had the great honor of meeting your nephew, Mr. Darcy.
You met a nephew of mine, Mr. Collins? Where, pray?
In Hertfordshire, ma'am, while I was staying with my cousins.
So, then am I to believe that you also have met my nephew, Miss Bennet?
Oh, once or twice only, ma'am, not frequently.
Mr. Darcy, of Pemberley in Derbyshire?
Yes, yes, that is he, your ladyship. He was staying in Hertfordshire with his friend, Mr. Bingley. Was he not, cousin?
Yes, I understand. My nephew has a friend by that name, certainly. Strange. Very strange. Oh, Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Collins. I see you and Miss Bennet are required at the card table. You can go.
Thank you, Lady Catherine. Thank you indeed. Most kind, I'm sure.
The arrival of Mr. Darcy the following week appeared to throw Mr. Collins into a state of pleasurable agitation. On the day that the visitors were due at Rosings, he found it necessary to pay many parish calls in the region of the lane leading up to the lodge gates, and was finally rewarded for his pains, a fact which he lost no time in reporting to his wife and Elizabeth.
He has come. He has positively arrived, cousin. Mr. Darcy is here, and another gentleman. The carriage passed me in the lane not a moment ago. He saw me, I think. I cannot swear that he actually answered my bow, but I certainly gave the impression that he saw me.
This intelligence was not so remarkable to Elizabeth as it appeared to be to Mr. Collins. She was all the more surprised then, as she was sitting writing letters in the morning room the next day, when Charlotte hurried in.
Lizzie, Mr. Darcy.
What? Here?
And another gentleman, in the hall at this moment.
Oh, goodness.
It is indeed, oh, goodness. We'll have you to thank for this, Lizzie.
Me?
You. He would never have come here for any other reason. Mr. Darcy. Well, this is a charming surprise.
I hope we don't come at an inconvenient time, madam.
Oh, no, indeed not. Your aunt told us you were expected at Rosings.
Miss Elizabeth?
How do you do, sir?
May I present my cousin, Colonel Fitzwilliam?
How do you do?
How do you do, ma'am?
We won't disturb you many moments, Mrs. Collins. The object of our visit was to convey my aunt's wishes that you might all join us at Rosings after church on Sunday.
Oh, well, that is extremely kind, Mr. Darcy.
But can Lady Catherine really want us, Mr. Darcy? She gave us to understand that she would be extremely busy this week.
Oh, you need not worry on that score, Miss Bennet. Darcy has great influence with his aunt.
Oh, well, in that case...
Then am I to say we may hope to see you, Mrs. Collins? Is that right?
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
If you have just come from London, Mr. Darcy, perhaps you have met my sister, Jane. She has been staying there this month.
No, I cannot recall having done so. Well, Fitzwilliam, we mustn't intrude on these ladies any longer. Till Sunday, then.
The front door had scarcely closed upon the visitors when Mr. Collins appeared, much agitated in manner.
My dear, did I see Mr. Darcy leaving the house just now?
You did?
Then why was I not told? I was there in my study and could have come instantly. He must have thought it so impolite of me not to welcome him in person after he's paid us the great honor of a visit in this way. Oh, well, I shall have to make it my business to give him a full explanation and apology at the first possible opportunity.
Miss Bennet, may I come and sit by you?
Most certainly you may, Colonel Fitzwilliam.
Thank you. Well, Miss Bennet, when are we to have the pleasure of hearing you play?
Me, sir? Who has given you the impression that to hear me play would be a pleasure?
Darcy has told me that he heard you on several occasions in Hertfordshire. He gave a most favourable account of your skill.
Oh, Mr. Darcy. But then he is always so notoriously indulgent, is he not?
Is he? I should hardly have said so.
Oh, there you are, Fitzwilliam. I could not see you for the moment.
Miss Bennet and I were just discussing music, ma'am.
Music? Then pray speak up. Let me hear what you have to say. It is, of all subjects, my delight.
Yes, ma'am.
I suppose there are few people in England who have more enjoyment of music or better natural taste than myself.
No, ma'am.
I am quite sure that if I had learned, I should have been a great proficient.
Of course, ma'am.
And now, Miss Bennet, you can play for us yourself.
Aye, ma'am.
Yes, miss. I understood from your previous conversation that you do play.
Oh, only very little, ma'am, and seldom in company.
Well, do so now, please. You will find music there to suit all degrees of proficiency. Darcy will show you.
Thank you, ma'am.
There is a large selection here, Miss Bennet. I leave the choice to you. When you have decided, perhaps I may be allowed to turn the pages for you.
I think you mean to frighten me, Mr. Darcy, by standing just behind me like that.
Not at all, ma'am, I assure you.
But I will not be intimidated, sir, even though your sister does play so well. There is a stubbornness about me that forbids it.
I shall not say that you're mistaken in your opinion of me, because I know from the past that you find great enjoyment in saying what you don't mean.
You know that? Really, Colonel Fitzwilliam, I am most unlucky in meeting somebody who can expose my true character like this, just when I was hoping to pass myself off among you all with some credit.
I'm sure you do, ma'am.
Miss Bennet always delights in joking at my expense, as you see.
But it really isn't very wise of you, Mr. Darcy, because I may retaliate. And such things might come out as to your behavior in Hertfordshire as would shock your friends to hear.
I'm not afraid of you, Miss Bennet.
Please, let us hear about him, Miss Bennet. I should greatly like to know how he behaves among strangers.
Well, prepare for something quite dreadful. The first time we met was at a ball, and what do you think he did?
I dare not imagine.
He danced but four dances.
No.
Though there were many young ladies, including myself, sitting alone and unsought.
Now that is not entirely true.
Mr. Darcy, you cannot deny it.
But I haven't the honor of knowing you then, ma'am.
And has nobody ever been introduced in a ballroom? Really, Mr. Darcy, I find that a very lame excuse.
But I am ill-qualified to recommend myself to strangers.
Miss Bennet, I am waiting! Oh.
One moment, ma'am. Colonel Fitzwilliam, should we ask him why a man of his sense and education should find himself so?
I can answer that for you. It's because he won't give himself the trouble.
Exactly.
No, I certainly haven't the talent for conversing easily with people I don't know. Nor, I'm afraid, of appearing interested in their conversation when I am not.
Mr. Darcy, my fingers do not move over this instrument with the dexterity of some others, as I am about to demonstrate. But then I have always told myself it is my own fault, because I don't practice enough. I refuse to believe that my fingers are not even capable of playing well.
You're quite right, Miss Bennet. The plain truth is that we neither of us perform at our best to strangers.
Miss Bennet!
I am sorry, Lady Catherine. I was just on the point of beginning. No, sir. You are about to get your revenge. Oh, goodness, this stool. If you could just hold the music still.